Okay, it's great to be back with you for another GoldSeek.com radio episode. Today's special guest, Louis Navalier. Louis Navalier is editor of four leading stock advisory newsletters, including Louis Navalier's Quantum Growth, and he also has, I understand, a new gold fund. Welcome back, Louis Navalier.
It's an honor to be here.
I wanted to begin, if we could, with a trend you identified in one of your newsletters recently. You say that the large cap equities are outperforming their smaller brethren, as we can clearly see in last week's Dow Jones Industrials all-time record close on a weekly basis. You cite U.S. dollar weakness due to strength in the Eurozone. I thought this was a novel comment here that I hadn't read in any of the other major outlets and any of the other sources that we tend to turn to. And you say that this Ukraine conflict, there's a flight to safety, really. And you also mentioned, of course, the economic revival in the region. Could you please tell us more?
What happened is in the previous week, the dollar hit a five-year low against the British pound, a three-year low against the euro. The euro has since weakened just a tad with some the most recent economic news. But the bottom line is that the dollar is very weak. It's at a two-year low against 15 major currencies. And when the dollar gets weak, it creates windfall profits for big multinationals. Approximately half the S&P sales are outside the United States. So that's really helping a lot. That's one of the reasons the earnings have recovered here dramatically. And it says, so we have this almost 9% dispersion of the S&P being ahead of the Russell 2000 in the last 50-plus days. And I went back and looked at when we get these dispersions, how long do they last? What I specifically looked at, I looked at when the Russell 2000 fell more than 5% and the S&P was up, and I found 16 times. And in 14 of the 16 times, it represented a good buying opportunity because both the Russell 2 and the S&P were higher 1, 3, 6 months later. Now, there were two times that the weakness in the small caps pulled the whole market down. That was in 81 and 83. But I think it's a good buying opportunity. I think Friday was the ultimate low of the market, and then the market will just obviously retest those lows.
We're seeing a lot of negative sentiment, even with the Dow closing at a new high. I mean, you would think that if this was a top, if we were getting frothy, that you would see just euphoria across the investor spectrum. We still have pundits crawling out of the woodwork, calling the end is nigh, and you don't see that typically at market tops. So, my forecast for at least 18,000, 18,500 on the Dow, I think, is going to hold at least for the foreseeable future.
And I do want to mention one thing. See, the weak dollar is also creating inflation. We just saw it in wholesale prices, which are bubbling up, and you see it at the gas station, the grocery store, because commodities are priced in dollars. So, that's one of the reasons behind the gold recovery, as well as, you know, the chaos in the world and Ukraine and all that stuff and the tension in the world. So the bottom line is the dollar gets weak. We're sowing the seeds of inflation, and it's just started, and gold's a hedge, and actually the stock market's a pretty decent hedge against inflation as well.
Very good. Well, that's a good segue into the next question here. You know, after a two-year difficult retracement here, to say the least, in the precious metals, 2014 has been a bit brighter. We've seen some signs of strength in the sector. Much of the tapering appears to be factored into the market price. You've actually opened up a precious metals fund. I wonder if you wouldn't mind outlining some of the key reasons for the new Navalier fund, as well as your outlook on the sector.
It's just Navalier Gold is just a way to buy gold retail, and we just do competitive bidding. It's not actually a mutual fund. It's just competitive bidding, and we did this a few years ago in the bond market. Says I think we can buy bonds better than most folks, and now we got $1.5 billion bond business, and they're sold through banks and brokerage firms. They're actually bond UITs. And we were just trying to squeeze the spread so everybody get a higher return. And we're trying to squeeze the spreads on gold, platinum, palladium, and silver. And so when someone wants to buy, we give them the competitive bids. And if their local dealer is better than us, I'd keep dealing with your local dealer. But if we can give you a decent bid, people could deal with us as well.
Well, you know, despite the four consecutive tapering moves by the FOMC, clearly you say the 10-year Treasury bond yield is falling. I wonder if you could give us an idea, a bit more details on what you see happening here with this apparently secretly dovish new FOMC chair, who apparently is going to hold rates low much longer than people anticipated.
Yeah, I mean, what the Fed really did is, as they wind down their quantitative easing, they're still going to keep their balance sheet, which will be almost $5 trillion when they're done. And that will give them plenty of money to continue to manipulate rates. But they did let the 3-, 5-, and 7-year yields go higher. But the 10-year has fallen dramatically, and so the yield curve has flattened out dramatically. But anytime rates go up, it causes chaos in the bond market. And the 10-year went up last year. Now the 3, 5, and 7 have gone up this year. So it creates chaos in the bond market. The other thing that's going on is, of course, corporate America is aggressively borrowing to buy back their stock. But Janet Yellen's made it very, very clear that even though she's removed the Fed's unemployment mandate, there's a problem in the job market, which is labor force participation is a 35-year low. People keep dropping out of the workforce, over 800,000 last month. Essentially, if you're over 55, it's fine. You have more work than ever. But if you're 54 and under, it's shrunk. So basically, she wants to keep the Fed to be very accommodative. So the Fed's a safety net. So I think rates are going to be extra low, extra long, even when they wind down their quantitative easing. All quantitative easing allow them to do is increase their balance sheet. And they're going to keep that money, and they're going to have plenty of money sloshing around to manipulate rates.
As of my last check, which was yesterday in a previous interview, I noticed that the Fed's website there, that balance sheet that you're referring to, has simply soared. And you'd think that you would have seen some cutting back during tapering, but we're not seeing any of that. In fact, I think we're approaching $4.5 trillion. You know, that's about $1 trillion more than 12 months ago.
And it was $800 billion back in 2008, and then it's got up to about $2.1 trillion after 2008, after they rescued mortgage backs and commercial paper and some of the distressed stuff. Then they found they need more money, so the, you know, each round of quantitative easing, now they're, you know, $4-plus trillion, and there'll be $5 trillion when they're done. That's plenty of money to continue to manipulate rates. So They might be whining on quantitative easing, but their cookie jar is incredible. And they seem to be more focused on the mortgage-backed market right now. Obviously, 2008 was somewhat a cause of, there was a big housing crisis. Housing has not fully recovered. I mean, prices have recovered, but it's just a lot of people that just aren't in the workforce. And bank lending is quite scarce right now. You know, Wells Fargo laid off a lot of mortgage folks, and they're the biggest mortgage lender in the country.
So if we take a look at this on a forward basis, then what do you see in their playbook? Will they continue to expand their balance sheet behind the scenes, if you will, and maintain low rates? And what would that mean for the precious metals in the equities market, please?
Well, I think precious metals really, really just had extraordinary things hurt them last year. One is the dollar was strong for a while last year, which pinches commodities. Second, India put a tax on gold, now the biggest gold buyer. But now that India is part of the emerging market crisis, some of the folks in India are back buying gold again. Third, we took the sanctions off of Iran. Iran was doing oil for gold deals, and now they're doing oil for dollar deals because we took the sanctions off. So all that gold that was Iran had to use to trade oil has got dumped on the market. Yeah, so I think really what's happened is there was just some extraordinary things that hurt metals last year, and I think gold made a good bottom. Like any bottom, you like it to retest its lows, but in this weaker dollar environment, it looks like it's going to be at or higher, and it's also rallying because of the emerging market crisis. I mean, it's there's a problem in the world in Indonesia, Malaysia, India, Turkey, and now Russia, and so people, and much of Latin America. Argentina's already devalued, Brazil's having an issue, and even Mexico's hurting, and even though we should be pulling them up, so when you have an emerging market crisis, people tend to get to put their money in gold.
Well, I wonder if you could tell us more about some opportunity you see in telecoms, Verizon, as well as AT&T. We've got ticker symbol VZ there and T. Apparently, due to the flattening on at least the long end of the curve, that this could actually help these companies. Dividend-paying groups like utilities and telecoms, which they're a part of the latter, are interest rate sensitive investments, and they could benefit here. Any comments?
Absolutely. I mean, Dividend stocks are an oasis here for investors, and as bond yields go lower, they tend to rally. But we do three types of dividend management. We do a power dividend, which is only got about 3.4% yield, but they double their dividends every 6 to 7 years. So that's our best performer. Then we do concentrated high dividend management, where we get the yield about 4.5%, and that's where you get the Verizons, AT&Ts. That's still qualified money, where dividends, where you're taxed at 23.8% federal. And then we do REIT portfolios, where we'll get over 8%, and then but that's taxed at 43.4% federal. So we do all the dividend management we do is doing well, okay? And who goes and what depends on their risk threshold, their income objectives, et cetera. But the bottom line is the market yields more than the bank. And you can try to beat up this market all you want, but you can't beat up the big ones because they yield more than the bank, especially after taxes. So and then corporate America is aggressively borrowing in the bond market by its stock back. So that's higher than ever right now. So as dividends rise, buybacks rise, the foundation of the market's good. And that's why I just think that we have a good buying opportunity.
You say that the landline shrinkage, that is the everyday POTS phone lines, you know, this is becoming a smaller component of the sector, as one would expect. And I can attest to the power of Verizon and their wireless connections, even in this very provincial remote area that I live in. You know, you can receive broadband internet through a modem or your cell phone or your iPhone, whatever you're using, that you just wouldn't be able to receive any other way. And of course, they also have the added benefit of enjoying, and this is according to your work, you know, things like DSL, which is also a growing sector, whereas the smaller telecoms just can't compete in this area.
That's correct. Both Verizon and AT&T laid all the fiber. And even if you don't get the fiber to the house, the fact that the fiber is out on the street makes it a much, much faster service. And you can get the fiber to the house if you really want it. You just got to go to the curb and start digging. But the bottom line is, you know, with streaming and everything, you know, we're all going to need that high-speed internet. And Verizon and AT&T are a couple of the winners.
Very good. Any other hot sectors on your radar screen this year?
You know, it's really a stock-picking market, and I guess the best way I can explain it is, you know, Whole Foods is struggling. Even though their sales are up, their earnings are being squeezed. Of course, the cost of food have gone up. But Kroger's doing okay, and with good sales growth. So there's an example, you know, one supermarket's hurting even with increasing sales, others on the oasis. It's really become pure stock-picking. That's what we do, and we basically think only about top 15% of the market's worth buying now. A year ago, it was top 40. When the market did correct, money didn't leave the market. It just sloshed from one side to another. It went to some stocks that hadn't rallied earlier and then went to a lot of the high-dividend stocks. But I think when all the dust settles and people realize how strong GDP growth is going to be in the second quarter and for the remainder of the year and the fact that earnings are forecast to go higher each quarter this year, people will be sharing up. So it just... You know, we're in the bumpy summer months. The market's going to be like a fish out of water. You know, interesting, our management company does cover call option writing. And anytime it gets volatile, we get higher premiums on those cover call options. So that's actually our best performing portfolio this year.
So as far as the sell in May and walk away comments that are typically right on the money with the equities indexes, so far this year, that mantra doesn't seem to be holding much water.
No, I would be fully invested in the quality stocks, but the quality stocks only in the top 15. So we have that free stock grading service out there. People might want to use our stock grader and make sure they have the creme in their portfolio.
Any other topics before we wrap up today?
Yeah, I do want to remind everybody that when the market got hit in March and continued into April, and looks like Friday was the low, what might have retested as well, it was caused by unscrupulous short sellers circulating fake charts. There was a chart out there that showed the market was identical to 28 and 29, and because the Dow had run up 96% for a corrected 48%. But even though they made the current market look identical to 20 and 29, the Dow only got up 24. What it was a scaling trick. The short sellers have learned to use charts to scare people. That chart went viral, went on CNBC, hit MarketWatch, a division of the Wall Street Journal. And, you know, people don't read. People don't know it's a fake, not a real chart. It's a fake chart. It wasn't scaled right. And then they had a fake chart on biotechs, and they had one like 87. And these are all scaling tricks. Even scrupulous short seller is going to be back in August when after earnings season winds down and all the pros on Wall Street are on vacation and volume's light. So people have to realize that, you know, there's bad people out there really trying to prey on their fears. And as far as I'm concerned, any of these dips are good buying opportunities, and that's why I'm literally had every dime I had was back reinvested back in the market last Friday. Now, I have clients that want the market to retest, and I'll have them all fully invested when the retest happens. But for myself, I just jumped in feet first.
We're seeing just absolutely strong signs, particularly in the big caps and the Dow. Every pullback seems to be a buying opportunity. Clearly, there are signs of accumulation across the board. The smart money has gone all in.
The market yields more than the bank. It's as simple as that, and the earnings are back, and it's just time to be happy. Weak dollar is a great thing, and besides, it's springtime. It's time to be happy, even if you have allergies. Our management company is Navalier.com. Our newsletter is NavalierGrowth.com. You know, you can go to either site. We have our free stock grading at Navalier.com. We have a free weekly market commentary that you can sign up for. We just want to do what's best for people. I'd start with our stock commentary and stock grading. And if they'd like any of our paid services, we're happy to provide that as well.
Very good. We thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care.